Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your Thursday. Darren McFarland down here in sunny Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe, I believe, out on the west side in Bellevue. Elijah Campbell back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Doing well. How about this unseasonably warm weather here?
I know. Huh? It's 80. We were sweating at baseball practice last night, and here we sit in late October sweating at baseball practice in shorts and T-shirts.
I got a little dilemma. Maybe you guys can help me out with. I don't know what you guys do. When the temperature gets, you know, we've gone through a period where we've had some fall weather, you know, it's been cold, it's gotten down into the 30s at night, low 40s. So I've kicked on the heat, right, at night. You know, most of the time, not during the day, maybe one or two days it was cold enough, but you feel in your mind like you've shut the air conditioning system down for the fall and the winter, right? You're done. But when it creeps back up into the 80s, I got the windows open and stuff, but I'm trying to resist cranking on the air. What do you think? Do you crank the air back up when it's like this?
Willie, who, are you asking me?
Well, I know the answer. I'm just trying to expose you.
We've done a whole
Mr.
lot of
Freeze.
Stuff.
Yeah, we've You're done Mr. a whole Freeze lot of stuff. To start with. You keep your house at like 59 degrees during the summer anyway. So
yeah, I'm the same way. Darren and I, that's why when Darren and I have shared hotel rooms, we're on the same page because temperature wise, we're good. We can hang.
Yeah, there's no way I would not be able to hang. First of all, there is no such thing as, let's look at the calendar. Oh, today's open your window day. Shut off the units for good. We'll see you in the spring. There is no such thing. We live in the South. And when it's 83 degrees and it's, you know, October 21st, which was yesterday, then the AC's on, man. It's cranking just like normal. Just like it was June and it was 83 degrees. Well, why? I don't understand this mentality. Well, it's October 21st, so we're not allowed to have the units on. We've got to have the windows open. No, it's only when it applies. If it was 62, that's probably too cold to have the windows open for you. But, you know, if it was 72, yeah, okay, windows open. Enjoy the beautiful day. Nice, cool, crisp day. Autumn, fall, day, okay, but no, 83 degrees? No, units blasting, man.
Yeah,
like
we got
it's summertime. Yeah.
No air here.
Yeah, that's. I'm out.
I'm holding out. I'm trying to get through.
There'll be no show meetings at your house.
This is getting up there, though. When you get to that mid-80s, it's kind of hard.
I can't sleep if I'm not comfortable. I can't sleep. I'm up all night. I might as well just come upstairs, shut the door, and watch TV all night. If I'm hot, I can't sleep.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I can't do it.
I'd have
Kicking
to take
covers
something.
Off and yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to take something to just knock me out.
Yep. Gotta you know,
be cold. Melatonin or something.
Now, what I love is when you get the room super cold and then you just cover up in blankets and you're in like that. Now, that I like. But I know that it's cold. Like, it's cold on my face and it's cold all around me, and then I can just kind of snuggle up. But if I'm hot and sweaty, nah. No go.
Mm-mm. I've gotten better, Willie. It was not like – and you're right. What you say, you know, back in the day when we used to do functions at my old house, you're right. I get it. I mean, they were. I'm pretty sure I saw Jordan Tutu's family over in the corner of the house, and I'm pretty sure I saw a couple of penguins running through the living room. So I will grant you that. I'm not like that. Obviously, that was a long time ago. As you get older, your body changes, so I'm not like that anymore. Somebody else moves into the house. That was when we used to do that. I was single. There was no kid. So, yes, it was ridiculously cold. So I've come way off of that, but, yeah, I can't. It's in the 80s. There's no way I can have the windows open.
I just have this visual of Darren walking through the house in shorts and a T-shirt, and then Lauren and Maddox are in, like, parkas, and the dogs are you know, under a blanket.
No, what you can envision, Jace, is back in that day, Willie, probably not to the level of today, but he was still layering up. I'm, you know, in shorts, T-shirt, and it's, like I said, Jordan Tutu's family was over in the corner probably breaking some ice, and Willie in the middle of the summer is in my house with like four layers of clothes on. That was probably true.
I also remember a staff function at a previous address that that we were employed by. There was a staff meeting somewhere around the middle of November, and Darren was the only guy on the staff wearing shorts because it was fairly warm that day. Mm-hmm. And our general manager at the time asked if Darren he just said, "Darren, are you going to be wearing shorts throughout the holiday season? Do you ever put long pants on?"
And
everybody just busted out laughing.
Yeah. If it stayed the weather like that, I probably would have, but it didn't. Luckily, it changed. You know, I
come off my stance. Of course, we're doing our show from our houses now. You know, there used to be kind of a after Labor Day, you really don't wear shorts to work, but that's kind of gone out the window this year, right? Because we're not coming into work.
Yeah.
Well, in our studio, as to peel the curtain back, I mean, when we get into the it's cold in the morning, warm in the afternoon, our studio, it's rough going because it's kind of one extreme or the other. There's not necessarily a middle, especially with the window. There's a window in our studio, and so that throws things off. So it's either, you know, penguins in the studio or it's hotter than you know what.
Yeah.
Been doing a lot of sweating in here.
Yeah.
Very true. It's never comfortable. It's either one extreme or the other.
We've tried everything.
Nine years. Yeah.
We've tried getting people standing up on the table and messing with the vent.
That's been exciting. True story.
There was one morning.
We've tried twisting it every direction and different revolutions, and you know, it just nothing works. Nothing.
There was one morning, and Derek Mason is the nicest person that you'll ever meet, and has never yelled at me until this morning, or this particular morning, where I was dying in the control room. I was producing, and it was hot. I mean, all the computers and the board and everything. I mean, I was sweating. I had pit stains and everything. And I finally said, like, I gotta fix this. So I went and turned it cooler, and it got to feeling comfortable in the control room, but it became an ice box in the studio.
That's the dilemma. That's and the catch-22.
D-Mace walks
as good in both places.
D-Mace walks out and looks at me and just says, "If you touch this blanking thing one more time, I can't repeat everything." But he was not happy with me because we know Derek. He doesn't like the cold. So
no, he does not.
I'm closer to Derek on that front. Yeah. You know, I'd rather be sitting there warm than cold.
I've seen a tweet from Tom Pelissero in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, how about this?
The Vikings are going to trade Yannick Ngakoue to the Ravens for a third-round pick in next year's draft and a conditional fifth-round pick in 2022.
So he's now been traded twice in the last, what, 2.5, 3 months?
Yeah, I was going to say, they
Which
just got
means
him.
The Titans will have to face him again.
Yeah.
Man.
They had to face him with the Vikings, and now they'll get him again.
Goodness.
Interesting.
It's like he's back in the division.
Why? You know, I was reading up on the Steelers, and they were talking about, are they going to make any moves at the trade deadline? It's been interesting. There really hasn't been a lot of talk about the Titans making any trades at the trade deadline, which is further back than it has been in the past because of the situation they're in. They made an adjustment by a couple weeks, but Bill Cowher asked the question, and Darren, I've heard you ask this a lot. He said people don't trade good players in the NFL. Good players are not available to trade. And he said the first question I always ask is, why is that other team wanting to trade this guy? So this is a guy that's been traded twice. So the whole thing of, well, he just didn't want to be in Jacksonville. Well, then what happened in Minnesota? I guess I see the Vikings saying, well, maybe we're not the team we thought we were, and we've got to look more at the future. But, man, that is bizarre. How often do you see that? A guy traded twice
in
about 2 months?
Didn't he sign a new deal?
Yes.
Yeah,
the Vikings signed him to a new deal.
Yeah, that's a head-scratcher there.
I guess to your point, maybe it wasn't just Jacksonville. Maybe this guy is wired just a little bit different, and maybe he's not happy unless, you know, certain things are happening. Maybe it's just winning. I don't know. Maybe he's one of those guys. Like, I just want to be on a winning team. I don't know. But, yeah, he's been traded again. Now he's with the Ravens. So the Ravens, just what the Ravens need, right? And Ndokwe to add to their defense.
Yeah.
Wow.
He is a talented player.
Well, if they can get the good Ndokwe. I mean, if
true.
You know, if there are issues behind the scenes, then, you know, I think that that's going to affect his play. But
see, that's the other part of it, Chase, is the Jaguars were sitting there going, okay, listen, I can't do anything about the fact they didn't want to play here. We got to fix that on our own, and we're not going to be able to sign this guy. The Vikings signed this guy and then trade him. They didn't have to worry about, well, I don't know if we can sign him. I don't know if maybe we can get – they signed him. So that is really crazy to me. I want to hear more insight on that.
We'll come back. Paul Feinbaum, our weekly chat with him every Thursday at 10:15, of course, with ESPN and SEC Network. We will talk with Paul next on Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5, The Game.
All them dogs are counting down, about to put the anchor down.
Thanks, Coach Stack. You know what? College basketball is just around the corner. I saw Rick Barnes doing some work with the media yesterday in Knoxville. It's hard to believe college basketball is creeping up on us here very soon. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our next guest, weekly chat with him this time every Thursday. Paul Feinbaum on the line with us, ESPN and SEC Network. And Paul is brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Paul, good morning. How you doing?
We're doing great. How's everybody there?
Sunny day in Nashville, no complaints. And the Titans are going to play, so no COVID issues. I mean, everything's good.
It has been, you know, college football finally got a pretty good dose of COVID last week, and let's hope it's over, at least for a few weeks.
Yep, and the Big Ten will get back. They're going to start their play up, and it all begins tomorrow night. Let's just actually start there a little bit out of the conference real quick. How do you think with the Pac-12 looming and the Big Ten about to crank up tomorrow night, starting with Wisconsin and Illinois and then the full slate on Saturday, how do you think it's going to look starting in late October?
I think it's going to be okay. I think we'll see a little bit of what we saw early in the SEC and then with everybody else, that the defenses and special teams are going to be behind. I think what really everyone wants to see is simply how good is Ohio State? Are they a contender? And I bring that up because in trying to come up with, you know, the best teams in the country, which we can now legitimately do, there is an amazing drop-off after Alabama and Clemson.
True.
And I know that it's kind of ridiculous to jump too far ahead, but that's what we do. And you're hoping Ohio State is that team because right now, I'm telling you, Georgia is clearly not there yet. They may come back later in the year, but it is quite a drop off, and it's almost impossible to find a number three team right now.
That is a great point.
Without looking at Ohio State,
it really is. It's a great point. I mean, if you had to today, and leaving the Big Ten and the Pac-12 out of it, because like you said, the unknown. Yeah, Ohio State looks really pretty on paper, but let's see how it plays out. But today, if you could only choose from the body of work that's in front of you, I mean, who is three? Who is four? In the country,
yeah, I'd probably still put Georgia in there.
Okay,
and after that, I was doing a top four for ESPN the other day, Sunday morning, and I literally couldn't come up with one. I threw BYU in just for fun, because Notre Dame had just come off of a 12-7 win. But I think it's probably Notre Dame. You know, they were hit with COVID issues for a couple of weeks, and you could tell it has affected them the last 2 weeks. But, you know, you're hoping, I'm pretty sure it is going to be Ohio State. And then, you know, is Oregon or Southern Cal in contention? And they, you know, again, they have no room for error out there. Same with the Big Ten with no bye weeks. I mean, Texas A&M is pretty good, but I'm not ready to put them that high. And their schedule is still, pretty much in front of them other than Alabama and Florida. Florida, I think, could have been in that list. But you talk about a school that is, the after effects of COVID, could be pronounced. They have not had a practice since they left for Texas A&M 2 weeks ago. They won't get back into their football facility until Monday, and we have no idea what they're going to look like. I mean, you saw that off and on with the Titans. It didn't seem to have that much effect on them, but they weren't as down as much as Florida will be. And you take a college football team off the rails for 2 weeks, and then maybe a number of players even longer than that. You have serious problems.
I don't think we'll hear Dan Mullen talking about packing the swamp anytime soon. Probably not for a while.
No, I've never seen anyone whose words have come back to bite more than his.
Mm. What is your assessment right now of the school you once attended? How do you explain getting mopped by Kentucky on Saturday and Jared Garantano's play? I mean, everyone expects them to lose this Saturday to Bama. That's going to be three losses in a row. And they seem like they're going the wrong way, Paul. What do you make of the Vols to this point?
You can't explain it. And I felt like the publicity and the promotion and the hype surrounding that program with the winning streak was overdone, because in that winning streak, Tennessee had not beaten anyone that was a high-quality team. And, they struggled against South Carolina. You saw the second half against Georgia, and then, Kentucky took them apart. And what concerns me the most is just the stewardship of Jeremy Pruitt, firing a coach after the game, during the game. I don't know when he did, but, the defensive line didn't seem to be the biggest issue during that game. It seemed like it was the offensive line and the quarterback play. Mm-hmm. And I always hate to use the cliche, well, obviously the coaches know more than we do, and that's why Garantano is still in there. I've seen many times when the coaches don't know more based on their decision making. And if he's the best Tennessee has, then it's going to be a sad season, because he's clearly not very good. And putting another guy in and making a mistake and immediately yanking him out, it's not really the answer. I think this is a game that you don't expect Tennessee to win. It would almost be considered a victory if they covered the spread. And as a Tennessee graduate and as someone who spent most of my life in Alabama, that's a pretty embarrassing statement to make.
Mm. Yeah, by the way, your best case or best example I can think of, just right off the top of my head to your point, is probably the Butch Jones era. And we used to talk about it, Paul, like every single week until finally the whole Jalen Hurd thing blew up and then they had no choice. But it was like, why aren't they playing this Alvin Kamara guy? Like every time he touches the ball, he's crazy dynamic and he gets like 3 and 4 touches a game. That may have been a prime example of coach didn't know. Why wasn't he playing him?
I still think Jeremy Pruitt is a very sound football coach, a good recruiter, a good evaluator, but he's yet to prove anything as a head football coach, and that's what he is right now. And, not only is he making $4 million a year, Philip Fulmer just gave him an extension.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Finebaum is with us. And on that, Paul, I think we all were puzzled. Take away the circumstances of 2020, but it seemed an odd time to give him an extension at the time. It didn't seem like there was pressure of losing him, and he still hadn't done so much that you feel like, boy, we really need to extend him. So that looks even more puzzling now, especially after the loss on Saturday. And, I mean, Philip Fulmer's been around long enough to know, it would seem. Then you put the thing, on top of it, the 2020 pandemic, where very few people, I don't know if I know anybody who's gotten a raise. It just didn't seem a good look at the time.
No, and I mean, the only thing I can think of is that someone came to Philip and said, listen, recruiting is in December, and let's make sure that we, in case something goes haywire this year, let's make sure we're protecting and enhancing everything connected to Pruitt. And Other than that, it makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense, period. But college, I'm not coming down on Fulmer, but college athletic directors right now just, they spend money that's not theirs, and it's not like they really seem to care about it. I mean, if you were running a family business, you wouldn't do that. If that was a public company, you wouldn't do that. But, you know, it seems like, okay, let's give him a raise. Who cares? He's in the midst of a big winning streak. Let's hype it up. And I'm sure that's what he did, but it looks really bad now. And depending on how the rest of the season goes, it could look disastrous.
I know you had a discussion recently with Greg McElroy, who's a great person to ask because he's been in those shoes, being the quarterback for Alabama. I'm really curious about Mac Jones, who waited his turn. Of course, he had a chance to jump in there last year, and he had a couple of bad plays that cost him in that Auburn game. But I'm wondering now, is, you know, he's kind of held his mud together, and he's had some success. Does he have that special ingredient that Alabama needs to take them all the way?
Yeah, I mean, McElroy seems to think he does. It's gotten so crazy that I was asked by somebody this week, do I think he's a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence? The answer is no, but the fact that the question was asked shows you how great Mac Jones has played. And during that Auburn game, he threw two pick sixes. One of them was not his fault. I mean, it literally bounced off a receiver's hands on the goal line, and the Auburn defender took it back nearly 100 yards. And, you know, I don't think too many people saw it a year out. Bryce Young, who was the top quarterback in high school last year from California, was supposed to have the job already. And now you've got a situation where, you know, he's nowhere close to getting on the field. And I knew Mac was having a great summer. I mean, everyone that saw him practice was raving about it. In fairness, he's got a NFL group around him. I mean, he's got three or four receivers that are out of this world, two in particular. He's got an All-American running back. That helps. He also has a really good line. But even having said all that, I know some quarterbacks in this league that could screw that up, and we were just talking about one of them a minute ago.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum from the SEC Network and ESPN, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. And so staying on the quarterback theme, Bo Nix with Auburn. Auburn has struggled, but I look at Bo Nix and, you know, the numbers are he's getting hit a lot, and Auburn coming off that loss to South Carolina, going to have another tough test this weekend with a high-octane offense in Ole Miss. So what do you think is going on with Auburn right now?
Yeah, they're in trouble, and this is the season for them, because if they lose to Ole Miss, they may lose. Malzahn may lose the entire team. I think it's that fragile. And don't forget, and I know it doesn't matter to in the standings, but Arkansas beat Auburn too. It just didn't count. Yeah. The referees made an egregious mistake at the end of the game. And you know, Nick's, you know, Gus tried to change things up. He brought in Chad Morris, who now looks, you know, like he is in the, you know, with what Sam Pittman has done at Arkansas, he looks like he's in serious contention now for the worst coach in SEC history. And you know, he tried to open it up with Bo Nix, and it's not working. I mean, Bo Nix's only play is run for his life. And it was a pretty effective play the other day against South Carolina, but the result was the same. So, I mean, if Ole Miss didn't have some COVID issues on the defensive side of the ball, I might think that they were a cinch to win this game, but that could mitigate their momentum. But it's still critical.
I feel like almost every year, though, we're talking about, you know, the, however you want to put it, the Gus bus being parked, Malzahn, you know, he's on the hot seat. This is it. He's not going to survive this one. Do you think that this year is any different, or is this actually his seat is getting warm? And if this continues, they're just going to have to move on.
No, because you already said it a minute ago. They would owe him $21 million. And there's some fat cats that follow Auburn football, but I don't know anyone who wants to write a check like that right now. And the only way that it would work if it got so bad is that they would just pay Malzahn off and then elevate Kevin Steele, who is well thought of as a defensive coach, but certainly has no resume as a, I mean, he was a finalist for the job at Tennessee, if you remember, a couple years ago when Pruitt got it. They don't have enough money to fire Malzahn and then go out and bring in another coach. Although I talked to Hugh Freeze yesterday at Liberty, who just beat Syracuse, and you know he's somebody that could energize a program in spite of all the baggage, but it would still cost money. And I don't think you're going to see any changes in the SEC this year unless things are just so bad. And I mean by that, Auburn would pretty much have to lose the rest of the games.
Do you think you said you talked to Hugh Freeze. Do you think he's back in the SEC within the next couple of years?
I do. We all followed it the same way 3 years ago when he got fired. It was incredibly embarrassing to say the least. But he is, you know, he took his penalty. Yeah, he couldn't coach in the SEC for 2 years. As a coordinator, and he was offered jobs from Alabama on down. And, you know, he went someplace and did what you have to do. You have to win a big game. And I'm not saying Syracuse is like beating Alabama, but it counts. It's an ACC school, and he got a lot of attention from that. And, you know, he could name his price as a coordinator right now with $2 million contracts going to offensive coordinators. He could go there. Although I think he wants to be a head coach. But he will be, I think he'll be pretty seriously in demand.
Interesting as always. Paul, really appreciate the visit. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Guys, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, that is Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. We'll come back, talk a little college football. We've got silly underdogs at high noon. Floyd Reese coming up to start the second hour. We'll get into heavy Titans and Steelers in the second hour of the program. Silly Underdogs at noon. Looking forward to reviewing and picking our new selections. Did not have a good week. We'll review.
Not looking forward to the review.
Yeah, well, it's going to be pretty easy for everybody. Everybody's got to bounce back, that's for sure.
Looking forward to new picks.
Mm-hmm. And then the final hour, we'll go to Pittsburgh and learn a little bit more about this Steelers team that's coming to town. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. What is your assessment right now of the school you once attended? How do you explain getting mopped by Kentucky on Saturday and Jared Garantano's play? I mean, you know, everyone expects him to lose this Saturday to Bama. That's going to be three losses in a row. And they seem like they're going the wrong way, Paul. What do you make of the Vols to this point?
You can't explain it. And I felt like the publicity and the promotion and the hype surrounding that program with the winning streak was overdone, because in that winning streak, Tennessee had not beaten anyone that was a high-quality team. And, you know, they struggled against South Carolina. You saw the second half against Georgia, and then, you know, Kentucky took them apart. And what concerns me the most is just the stewardship of Jeremy Pruitt, you know, firing a coach after the game, during the game. I don't know when he did, but, you know, the defensive line didn't seem to be the biggest issue during that game. It seemed like it was the offensive line and the quarterback play. Mm-hmm. And I always hate to use the cliche, well, obviously the coaches know more than we do, and that's why Garantano is still in there. I've seen many times when the coaches don't know more, based on their decision making, and yeah, you know, if he's the best Tennessee has, then it's going to be a sad season, because he's clearly not very good, and you know, putting another guy in and making a mistake and immediately yanking him out, it's not really the answer. I think this is a game that you don't expect Tennessee to win. It would almost be considered a victory if they covered the spread, and as a Tennessee graduate, and as someone who spent most of my life in Alabama, that's a pretty embarrassing statement to make.
There you go, Paul Feinbaum with us in the last segment. He joins us every Thursday at 10:15. Speaking of that game, that is our college football game of the week, and it'll be on ESPN 94.9, presented by Gary Force Acura. And this week's game will be UT and Alabama. Kickoff is at 2:30. Once again, you can hear it on ESPN 94.9. So what do you guys make of Paul's assessment of this Tennessee team? You know, we brought up the whole contract thing. We talked about that the minute that news got out there. So this is not us reacting to a two-game losing streak, possibly a three-game losing streak, and we don't even necessarily have to spend any or much time revisiting that because we're all on the same page. We all felt the same way at that time. What's the point in this? Like, this is horrible timing. There's no need to do this. Nobody's out there trying to steal away Jeremy Pruitt. And, you know, we're in a pandemic. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why there's no reason to announce you're giving him a contract extension. And, Willie, as you said in the interview, who the heck in 2020 has had a raise at work? You're lucky to be getting your normal pay. Forget a raise. I mean, you know.
Well, that's the thing that surprised me the most. And I think it's being challenged now. It's interesting and really not surprising of the hyperbolic ups and downs of the pulse and the coaching approval meter, right? When they lost to Georgia State, I'd love to have some recordings of our show that day. I remember exactly where we were. We were at Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. For their media day, I can't remember why we were there. We were there to
in the Hall of Fame building.
In the Hall of Fame building, they had a big game.
Yeah, they had
that
a
week.
Big game,
and so I remember. And there were people saying, "This guy's not the right guy." It was loud. How can we keep this guy? This guy's not the right guy. He's never going to make it. Bring Philip Fulmer back to coach, and that lasted a couple weeks. Right? It's not like it ended the following week when they lost to BYU.
No,
it got even worse.
They lost to BYU the next week.
I was one of those people.
So it wasn't for one day. It was for a sustained period of a few weeks. Then they turn it around. They start making some progress. And as Paul Feinbaum said, put it in context. They started beating the teams that, in their mind, they're supposed to beat. Nothing more, nothing less, but that's progress. And now that they have taken a step back for one game. This is the first game that they lost to a team that on paper they should beat, in their minds they should beat, and have beaten almost every time for decades, right?
Thanks.
Now we're back to the Georgia State. Vince was the one that said it. We had him on Monday. He said, this is the kind of reaction we got after they lost to Georgia State. And so that shows sort of the irrational ups and downs that a coach can go through. The only thing that's surprising is they signed him to an extension when they didn't need to, because there just is no justification for needing to do it. Now, as Paul said, maybe there was some recruit to where they could turn to that recruit and said, well, look what we did here. We're committed to him and he's not going anywhere. But there was just no justification for that. Where I've been steady all along for him. I'm just thinking, hey, let's, you know, give it 3 or 4 years. He's showed some progress. Now we have a bump in the road. I'm not ready to say he's not the guy, but it's amazing how it turns week to week for a coach in the SEC.
Well, and I've also, and we talked about this with the all-SEC schedule, and I think we've even asked Paul about it, of, okay, do you get a little bit of, not a pass, I mean, but, you know, does the heat come off just a hair because it's an all-SEC schedule? That it's obviously very tough. And if you're in the East and you got to play more Western opponents, I mean, it gets even tougher because the West is so strong, or has been historically. And so I think Vince even brought that up of, all right, maybe 9 wins, not going to happen. And now, you know, regular season-wise, it can't because there are only 10 games. But what, you know, does 7 wins feel like 9 wins? You know, how does that how does that go? But losing to Kentucky, having a tough game against South Carolina, because I think South Carolina is starting to look a little bit better than maybe we thought they were going to. It was a tough game against them. You own Missouri. Georgia, okay, hung tough in the first half, but then it got away from you. Things are going the wrong way. I mean, Alabama's going to mop the floor with them, and then who knows what Arkansas is going to look like. I mean, Arkansas has certainly been different. And I'm not one of those that's
getting. By the way, Arkansas has already hit the over. Their over under on wins was beaten weeks ago.
Yeah.
For the season. Right. Like the sports books, people have already cashed in a winning ticket on the over-under if you had Arkansas on the
over. That must
over.
Be a great feeling.
Yeah. Like in October. You were cashing in a winning ticket, yeah.
Already got that one taken care of. But
Chase, let me I want you to explain the it's moving in the wrong direction because you know this, right? There's no team that could be going in the right direction every week of every season. When you lose two games, I just don't think it changes the big picture.
Yeah, but
I think they've making
they
progress.
Lost to Kentucky.
Is it changed that much? They had a horrendous game. Their quarterback played awful. And they tanked. It was an awful game, but it was one game. I don't think it's a reflection of all of a sudden you change your mind on the direction of the program. Are you there in your mind? Are you
back
to where you were last year?
No, I'm not. And that's where I was going to go. I was going to say I'm not ready to fire him. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm getting to is this question: at what point do we figure out? Okay, this is a program that can be in the upper echelon of the SEC. When do they actually get there? Or do we just go, yeah, they're not. They're middle of the road, and that's what they're always going to be. There were some times in the 90s where Phillip had them going at a really high level. They had one of the best quarterbacks in history in Peyton Manning. I mean, they were riding high. They won a national championship. They capitalized on those opportunities. But that's just not them anymore. Are we getting to that point? Because this has been going on for over a decade of being at the bottom of the barrel and the mediocrity and not sniffing that upper echelon like everybody thinks they can be. And I'd be curious of how Vols fans feel about that. Like, do you still have that hope of, yeah, you know, we're going to win the East one day. We're gonna beat Alabama. We're going to win SEC championships. We're going to be in the playoff. None of that seems realistic to me right now. And at what point does it become realistic, or at what point does it become it's not going to happen?
But we know it was going to take time. You need layers of good recruiting classes to get there.
When
you don't have Andrew Luck quarterbacking, you don't have the quarterback that maybe can change
Kirby
the game.
It didn't take Kirby Smart layers and recruiting classes to change Georgia around. It did.
No?
No. No.
It didn't happen overnight?
Yes, it did.
No, it didn't.
When were they in the championship game?
They lost
the second year, right?
Do you not remember Zach Cunningham and Vanderbilt beating them at Georgia? That Georgia team wasn't a great team. That was Kirby Smart's first year. It took a couple years.
Years? Well, guess what? Jeremy Pruitt's in what? Year three. Does
year
he look
three.
Like he's got it in the same level that Kirby Smart had
no,
Georgia in?
But you know what? Georgia wasn't as far back as Tennessee was. Tennessee had dipped below where
there's
Georgia
there's no reason why Tennessee can't be. That's the whole point.
But from where they were when he took over, they had a lot of work to do. They had a lot of work to do, and they didn't have the quarterback that changes the game.
They went 8-5 his first year, 13-2 his next year, and lost in the college football championship.
Okay, and what were the records of the Georgia teams the 5 years before Kirby Smart took over the program?
8-5 in a bowl game his first year. Come on.
Yeah.
And then second year in the national championship game. Are you serious? 13. I mean,
but
really?
You're not answering my question.
13 wins, 11 wins, 12 wins. That's his years 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, so give me the 5 years of Georgia before Kirby Smart got there.
5 years of Georgia before Kirby Smart. 10-4, lost in the Outback Bowl. 12-2, won the Capital One Bowl. 8-5, lost in the Gator Bowl. 10-3, won the Belk Bowl. 9-3.
I rest my case.
Yeah, it's very.
I rest my case.
I didn't need to hear it. Know the narrative on Mark Richt.
So what was the record
forever.
Of the Tennessee teams?
He was there forever, and they wanted to. They were tired of just winning 10-11 games,
but
making
That was
noise
a different rebuilding project. That's a different rebuilding project. Give me the records of the Tennessee teams the 5 years before Jeremy Pruitt took over.
Well, we know it. We don't need to hear it. We know. They've been
hiring
lousy coach after lousy coach.
Exactly. So it takes more time to build the layers of a program that's going to beat the Georgias and the Alabamas.
There have been coaches go in there and turn around programs that have been lousy. We're past all that. You need five.
Tell me
the guy we just talked about. How long did it take Matt Rhule to turn Baylor? Did it take him 5 years to turn around Baylor's program?
Baylor does not play in the SEC against Alabama and Georgia and LSU.
When Gus Malzahn came into the SEC and Hugh Freeze came into the SEC, did they need 5 years to get going in the right direction?
Hugh Freeze did not win a league championship.
This whole thing about steady and slow and build,
and how did Hugh Freeze
that's baloney.
Do it? How did Hugh Freeze do it? Did he do it legally? He cheated his tail off to do it.
Yeah, because that never happens.
Yeah, I know. Is that what you want for Tennessee? Should they take shortcuts and cheat?
I don't know. Ask the Tennessee fans.
That's what I'm asking the question.
Some of them may sign up for that.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Yes. you'd be surprised.
Well, if
Malzahn, about a third of the fans still want him out. I mean, I think he's done a great job, but it's not like they've been great every year. There's bumps in the road. And they had won a national championship with him as the offensive coordinator and then sunk to the bottom and come back before he got there. Every program is different. I just would say that Tennessee, while I still say they have the potential to get back to where they were, it's going to take time. Especially without the special quarterback that can change the game for you and make up for a lack of talent elsewhere. They just haven't had that.
You can't take 5 years anymore.
No.
You can't.
It's going to take 5 years.
But you can't.
You can't. That's
okay, then do what you've done. I would challenge Tennessee, then do what you've done before and see how it works. Make the right hire.
It's on them, though. They keep making the wrong.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying this guy's not. I'm not saying Jeremy Pruitt is or isn't.
Right. The jury's out. He needs more time.
It doesn't look like he is going to be this guy that's going to have. Here's what stood out to me with Paul Feinbaum. Here's another question for Tennessee fans. And my wife is a Tennessee alum. Okay? Paul Feinbaum said, as a UT grad, Paul Feinbaum, did you guys catch when he said it feels like today's standard is when Tennessee plays Alabama, what you're hoping for, a true win in that game would be to cover the spread. Now, you ask any Tennessee fan that's over 22 years of age, any Tennessee fan that's been around the block for a while, and tell me if that's an acceptable standard and if that's the way Tennessee fans should feel. No. The answer is
not.
No. They shouldn't feel that way. That's the reason Georgia got rid of Mark Richt, because they're like, we want to compete for national championships too, just like Florida and Alabama and Auburn and all these other schools in the SEC. We should be doing that too. Like, 10 wins is great, but we're not competing for anything. We're not in the college football playoffs. We're not winning a national championship. Tennessee is no different. That is a sad, sad thing
right.
to hear.
But that whenever, wasn't going to change.
By the way, I don't think he's that far off, if you're being realistic. Like, you really think about it as a Tennessee fan, how far it's dropped when you go into this game going, hope they don't get blown out.
Yeah.
Really?
Like,
Tennessee used to go into the Alabama game going, this is the game of the year.
Right, but
the Vols are going to win this game, and it's the game of the year.
But they've thought this way for years. They thought this way before Jeremy Pruitt took over. That's the fact. So Pruitt, he took over a tough situation where Butch Jones left it in awful shape after Butch Jones tried a lot of quick fixes to fix Derek Dooley's problems and so on. Right, it was going to take time.
Willie, I'm
There's
just
no,
sorry.
They weren't going to There's change just, the perception and get
have,
to the level you're asking for in no, this short amount of no. the time. There's no
Look,
way.
Nick on Twitter, here's a prime example. He's wanted me to ask you this. What about James Franklin of Vanderbilt? Did he need 5 years? Could you tell that they had a good hire? Could you tell they had the right man for the job? You
Absolutely.
Don't need 5 years to figure it out, Willie. Just make the right hire.
But
and
we're
it's
talking
very
about a different level. We're talking about a different level of winning. James Franklin instantly changed things. He did a tremendous
Why?
Job.
Why? He was an unknown. He had never been a head coach. Nobody knew anything about him other than he was the guy in
OC.
Waiting at Maryland.
But
nobody
let's be
knew
honest.
Anything about him.
I'm the biggest James Franklin fan. I'm extremely thankful. I'm a Vanderbilt graduate. That was a golden era. But it's not like they beat Alabama during that time. It would have taken more years
For Vanderbilt standards, it was like beating Alabama for Vanderbilt standards.
Yes, I agree with you, but that doesn't mean they actually were good enough to beat Alabama. They moved up ten pegs in a short amount of time. He did a brilliant job.
We're
he also inherited a few more better players
That's not what people were saying. That's not what people were saying.
It's the reality.
Nobody was saying that. Yeah, because guess what? Him and his staff coached him up. That's what they did.
Absolutely they did.
Guess what? Great coaches do that. They coach up their players.
100%. 100%. But he inherited Zach Stacy and Jordan Matthews
and
some other pretty good players.
Nobody was going, boy, James Franklin's coming in. The cupboard's full. Boy, this should be great. Nobody was saying that.
No, they were saying
I'm sure Tennessee fans are really thrilled that you're comparing the Vanderbilt program to the Tennessee program. Because every Tennessee fan I talk to is embarrassed that they ever lost to Vanderbilt once, let alone five times in 7 years or whatever it was.
My comparison, as Nick on Twitter, is correct. He's making my point for me. You don't need 5 years to figure out you have the right man in place to coach your team and win national championships and be a contender year in and year out. By the way, Dan Mullen, he gets to Florida instantly. Florida's right back to prominence again. Didn't take him 5 years. Because Dan Mullen's a good coach, and everybody knows that.
Are they in contention for a national championship? I'm sorry. When were they?
How has Florida looked under Dan Mullen?
They improved, looked awful. But they're not ready to win a national championship.
What are year they? Is he in?
Second, I think.
Oh, okay. Does it look better than Jeremy Pruitt at UT? What program looks better, in better shape right now? Dan Mullen of Florida, Jeremy Pruitt of Tennessee.
What was the starting point?
What looks better right now, better shape?
Which program had sunk lower?
I don't care about that.
What do you mean you don't care? It's a huge part of the question.
No, it's not.
If I say, Darren, fix up this building, and it's rubble, it was leveled by a tornado, that's different than saying, Darren, fix this building that has a few broken windows and broken doors.
You're back in the mentality of, if the roster is completely full and nobody's hurt, then we judge a team. You get back to that. You don't ever want to face adversity and what everybody has to deal with. Nothing's perfect, Willie. You don't walk into situations because everything is perfect. And here's the keys to a kingdom that is perfect. And just take over and take it to the top. That's not how it works.
Well, if you feel this
way
now.
It's like being
now,
the number one pick in the draft. And you go, well, he's on a crappy team. Well, no duh.
Well,
you got taken number one overall.
If you feel this way now about the Tennessee program, then why wasn't anybody saying it 3 weeks ago when they had won 8 in a row? No, I didn't hear anybody questioning whether he's the right guy. Still the right guy.
Or are you talking to everybody out there listening?
I'm talking about the. It's pretty obvious that we have not had a conversation like this in about a year, right? He quieted everybody down because they had some success. They are growing. And just because you take a step back, which this was a clear step back, it doesn't mean all of a sudden he's a different coach than he was 2 or 3 weeks ago. That's a knee-jerk reaction, and they're probably going to get clocked this Saturday. They're not ready to win a game like that. Maybe they'll surprise and play competitively. But even if they do, even if they win, let's say they're competitive and they lose by a touchdown, that still doesn't mean they've gotten where they need to go. I look at the long view, and it's still a work in progress. They are recruiting pretty well. Not that I follow it, right? But, Chase, are they recruiting pretty well?
They are. And, by the way, this is year three for Dan Mullen. He and Pruitt got hired at the same time.
Yeah, because Tennessee was going after him.
Yeah, right. My whole thing on this is, yes, he had a great finish last year, turned it around, made you forget all about the beginning. Our Vols fans forget all about the beginning. But for us in this conversation, that stuff, you gotta keep that in your back pocket. Think about that. And now, once again, they didn't build off any momentum. The year started off okay. You got to win over South Carolina. That was good. Tough game. And then Missouri, and then the team that everybody was hoping, okay, maybe you can compete against them,
That's who you're trying to get to. That's where you're trying to get.
In the second half, in the first half, everybody was thinking, all right, here we go. This is where this Vols team needs to be. They're right there. They have a chance to win. And then the wheels fall off. And the wheels haven't gotten put back on yet. You got blown out by Kentucky. No offense to Kentucky fans. I know you're very proud of that. But
you have a quarterback problem.
That's not supposed to happen. Well, why do you have a quarterback
problem? That's on Jeremy Pruitt.
Jared Garantano is what he always has been. He's not that good. So why is that still a problem? Why is that still a conversation? You knew what he was. Nothing has changed with that.
No, actually, he is good at just don't know when. Sometimes he's good. Sometimes He's not. I mean, that's the problem. Well, to me,
that's not good.
It's the up and down.
Inconsistency is not good.
But the problem is, yeah, going back to the coaching staff, he's been there 5 years. And yet they try, every time they try to yank him, they realize everything behind him is no better. It's worse. So that is on a coaching staff.
Yeah, and we heard the same argument, and I made that argument with Mariota of, oh, yeah, there's good. There's a lot of good there, but it's up and down, up and down, up and down. And that's exactly what Garantano is.
It's hard to win. It's hard to beat Georgia. It's hard to beat Florida if you're up and down, you know, especially Georgia. I mean, Georgia is still the standard. Florida's not there yet. Georgia is still the standard in the East until somebody knocks them off their peg, period. And Tennessee shouldn't take a backseat to Georgia and Florida. And that's why, you know, they get mad. And I don't blame them because they shouldn't. They shouldn't be taking a backseat. And it shouldn't be about beating Indiana in a bowl game. That's not what Tennessee hires coaches to do. They don't hire coaches to beat Missouri. They don't hire coaches to beat Indiana in a bowl game. They hire coaches to compete for SEC championships, to be a college playoff team, to win a national championship. Not to beat Missouri and to beat a Big Ten school in a bowl game.
But that's why you don't extend coaches. The coach. That's why you don't extend the contract. You wait
Agreed.
It out.
We're all
and
on
you
the same
wait
page
and
there.
See. You keep making the steady progress, and you see where you are after another year. Let's see how this is a very unique year, you would say, right? It's the stuff that happens this year, there are circumstances. I don't know if you could truly evaluate a coach with all that's going on and what you're dealing with. How do you evaluate Dan Mullen on what's going to happen down there? We don't know. Maybe they'll do what the Titans did and pull it out and rally and figure out a way to survive. But if they don't, you can't put that on Dan Mullen, that half his team went down with the virus.
Right. Well, and I don't think
it could still happen to Tennessee. It could still happen to Alabama. You know, we don't know. Is Ed Orgeron's taking a big step back. So this is
right,
an odd
Ed
year
Orgeron
to be.
Just won a national championship with one of the greatest college football teams.
If Jeremy
ever.
Pruitt won a national championship last year and Tennessee was 2-2 this year,
we'd all shut up.
Yeah, there'd still be people mad, but because that you can't get away from that. But for the most part, nobody's talking. Nobody's saying anything. Like in LSU, you can ride that wave for a good 3-4, maybe probably not 5 years, 3-4 years. You can ride that wave, and then they'll be like, okay, yeah, the national championship's in the rearview mirror. Now it's time to get back there.
Right,
but also you would have to admit that Ed Orgeron was toast. He was dead man walking a couple years ago. It wasn't if, but when during the season will he be fired as the coach? And now he's gotten to this, so it can change a lot. If
Tennessee
hasn't
even come close to change,
and that's the problem.
Not even close.
Winning eight in a row was not progress.
They can't even see what we're talking about. We're talking about winning an SEC title, winning, being in the college football playoffs, winning a national title. They can't even see that right now, and they haven't even been close for over a decade.
Neither could LSU a few years ago when they were ready to throw Ed Orgeron to the curb.
For the last
decade?
Right,
but they got
LSU
past
LSU hasn't
that.
Been relevant for the last decade plus?
You're making my argument for me. That's been my point with Pruitt. Pruitt was taking over a program that had sunk way lower than LSU, than Georgia, than Florida. It was a bigger project. It was a more long-term project. If they don't want to admit that, then that's on them.
But Butch and Pruitt have the same thing in common, that they've gotten their – and the jury's still out on Pruitt, but they get their teams to that 8 or 9 win threshold where everybody feels better. It's like, yeah,
right,
we got a nice bowl game we can talk about. But they can't get past that.
Yeah.
And they have to get past that because I'm gonna be honest with you. The bowl games on New Year's Day, okay. But it's playoff time now. It's a different era. There is a actual playoff in college football.
Did you really think it would be that much better this year for Tennessee?
Have you heard our conversations with Vince and what they were saying in that market? Yeah,
I mean, other than the loss,
I know fans
obviously,
can be
obviously it still stings. The last impression you have is the loss to Kentucky. But even after the loss to Georgia, I mean, what really were your expectations?
Did you hear Vince talking about WNML's, you know, their polls that they had up, and there's fans saying 9 wins, 8 wins,
yeah,
10 wins. I mean, yes, people did think that. When you say did people, oh. Yes.
Was that reasonable, though?
I didn't. That's not. That was not your question. You said, did people okay. think that? And my answer was, yes, they did. All right, we'll come back. Floyd Reese. We'll talk with the GM to start the second hour next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.